The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Great to see you, man.
Steve,
what? I'm sorry, you're kidding. I'm sorry.
Well, not you. We'll wait for you.
Anyway, all right.
By the way, anybody who doesn't think we have global warming, hang out with me, man. Travel with every major fire I've been to.
I called to this hearing of the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Food and Nutrition, Specialty Crops, Organics, and Research to order. In my time and effort in IFAS, as the mayor of Braddock, we need to come together and stop playing political games with Americans' access to food. Americans like Chair about Cory Jor from the north to the town of Northeast in Pennsylvania.
You know, when I speak to the business roundtable and the muckety mucks, they're good, a lot of decent people. All the business enterprises, they look at me like, "Hey guys, don't jump, okay?" But all kidding aside.
And I thank and I met with the legislators who are here and your legislative leaders and that majority female legislature that you've got here. Some bad people.
I've been in and out of Iraq and Iraq and Afghanistan.
This is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
Can you please define for me, what is a woman?
Our focus at the department is to provide equal access to students.
What does HHS say the definition of a woman is?
I lead the Department of Education, and my job is to make sure that all students have access to public education, which includes co-curricular activities.
So you're not going to answer my question. Well.
But you have. We have 1,000 billionaires in America. You know the average tax rate they pay? 8%. 8%.
It is my testimony that the border is secure, and we are working every day, day and night, to increase its security.
This country needs immigrants to survive. Immigrants pick the food we eat, rebuild our communities after climate disasters, help construct our infrastructure, power our small business economy, clean our homes, and look after the most precious in our families.
Climate change is the crisis of our lifetime. We have an obligation to future generations to make sure that we have a planet for them to live on.
First of all, welcome to the happy place.
I'm so happy to be in the happy place.
Thank you. Places you could be. Why did you choose to stop by the happy place?
Why wouldn't one go to the happy place? We search for the happy place.
Create more than 12,000 brand new jobs in 2 years. That's more than any president in American history has created in 4 years.
Monday, you're going to have three of the lawmakers who protested after...
Peacefully protested after
the Nashville Covenant School shooting. Have any of the victims or the victims' families been invited to the White House?
I don't have anything to read out to you about any invite.
Why?
I just don't have anything at this time to read out to you any invite. What I can say to you right now is that the president is focused on getting things done.
Well, there you go. Your weekly installment of the Jobama people, the communist infiltrators, the real insurrectionists, as they drive the country off of a cliff, as they cause catastrophic damage top to bottom. And you see this lunacy, really. I mean, the woman in strange hair calling for crash dummies to be male and female. It's unbelievable to watch this. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. Go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch this program every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. of the United States. It's such a beautiful time of year. We finally got some much-needed rain last night, together with some frightening storm systems as they work their way through central Oklahoma. But what a glorious day it is outside today in North Edmond here in central Oklahoma. We're, again, grateful that you can join us for today's show. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com, if you'd like to submit some feedback to the show. So earlier this week, I believe this might have even been yesterday's program, I referred you to this Victor Davis Hanson piece where it's titled, "Can We Do Anything About America's Decline? Is there any way to reverse this? Is there any way to turn this around?" Hanson says here, I'm not sure if I read this part in the quotes that I gave to you yesterday. He says, "The remedies are agreed upon, but the needed medicine is feared more than the disease." Where have you heard that before? It says, "Because today the government is the cause of our many crises." So how can you turn it around when the government is the cause of the problems? You have Mayorkas there saying the border's perfect. Everything about the border is perfect. Everything's working just fine. Our largest cities are becoming uninhabitable, dilapidated, dangerous, and dysfunctional. The challenge is not just rampant crime, but the realization that if you, the citizen, are stabbed, shot, or beaten up on the street, the perpetrators may well be exempt from most punishments. It's happening all over the country. And the victim either will be forgotten in his misery or indeed blamed for bringing such violence upon himself. I read that piece yesterday about these criminals in New York City and how it was like 337 are responsible for 6,000 crimes because they won't crack down on just a few hundred that commit crimes, then they go into jail, then they're let out of jail, then they commit more crimes. And so crimes by the thousands could be eliminated if you just crack down on the 337, but they won't do it. Instead, they're the victim class, these criminals. Victor Davis Hanson, he says, in the next 5 years, either cities will seek new governance to reduce taxes, break up municipal unions, mandate charter schools, restore police funding and manpower, recalibrate pensions, and prosecute criminals and corrupt officials, or Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Minneapolis, and a score of others will become Detroit. We've talked a fair bit this week about Chicago and that shocking headline. It shouldn't be a shock, not if you've read Herbert Armstrong's writings. If you've read Missing Dimension and Sex, I mean, you know this is right where we were prophesied to be. Just like it says in Isaiah 3, children, oppress. The headline on that local report Monday was that the teens are taking over. And then here's the mayor-elect of Chicago basically defending the mayhem, defending the instigators of this teen takeover of the streets of Chicago. This is clip 5.
Look, demonizing children is wrong. We have to keep them safe as well. Have you ever taught middle school? I have. Have you ever raised young people? They're young. Sometimes they make silly decisions. They do. And so we have to make sure that we are investing to make sure that young people know that they are supported.
Silliness. That's what he says it is. Just silly children. Children being children. This is children who've been brought up in an environment where there's virtually no discipline whatsoever. And of course, Hebrews 12 tells us that when there's no discipline, when there's no correction, when there's no punishment, there's no love. Because you discipline a child in love. You administer correction in love, or else you get anarchy on the streets. And that's what we're seeing. And then these leaders, if you can even call them leaders, they get out there and say, look, just deal with it. He's the same guy that said we need to create more safe spaces for these young people. Safe spaces? Or like the mayor of Baltimore said back in 2015, we need to give them space to destroy. Just let them go. They one of our viewers sent me this clip. It's another local broadcast, and some of these local broadcasts are quite revealing. We need to keep our eyes on more of them. The one in Chicago from the other day. This one here is from Portland. I forget the, it's in my notes, REI. I'm not familiar with that department store, but evidently it's a big department store in Portland. They're closing down. Too much crime. That's what's covered in the first part of this report. And then this journalist, he, in the middle of it, he's just playing these clips of local residents in Portland calling in, and they're just furious. Calling in, emailing. When is the city? When will our leaders do something to stop the bleeding? Listen to this local report, clip 4.
And we heard from several of you yesterday, fed up with city leadership and the exodus of big business.
Let's talk about REI and REI pulling the plug out of Portland. Yeah, this is a travesty. Our mayor has done nothing. His response to everything is, we've been working with them. What have you been doing? What have you been working? I mean, working is one thing, but getting results is another. I've seen nothing from him, nothing. All these businesses are folding up, leaving, moving on, and just plain going out of business. And he has done not one thing to help prevent this from happening. He's making the problem worse. So that's just my opinion. Have a good day.
Thanks, Eric. And I can feel the frustration there, and I know a lot of you share that. Kathy says, what will it take for our elected officials to take concrete action to improve downtown and bring back a vital city I moved to in 1999? We can't wait several years to see results. Something needs to change right now. And Mike chimed in. Another one bites the dust. Call attention to the impact the lack of action on the part of our city leaders is having on the downtown community. Instead of improving, things just seem to be getting worse. I expect this is not the last we will hear of businesses leaving the Pearl and Portland. Back at REI, it's worth noting that the message on the store window feels a little bit different now than its original purpose. The message says it's better out there, meaning, of course, the outdoors. Now for REI leadership, that seems to mean outside of Portland.
And so they're leaving Portland. They're closing down. They're shuttering stores and restaurants. The very next subject this reporter brought up was a fast food joint that's actually moving into Portland. They had just finished constructing it. They hadn't opened it yet. No money, no valuable supplies in there to steal. And they've already boarded up one of the windows because it got smashed in by a passerby. The individual didn't even go into the restaurant to steal anything. It's just random acts of violence, random acts of looting, or if not even looting, just smashing things in because they know they can do it without being punished. This is Portland. You feel for that woman. She said, I've moved there in 1999. This place is totally different. But what do you do? Like Victor Davis Hanson says, you hear the people of Portland venting. They're basically saying the leaders are making it worse. I mean, these are good communist leaders in charge in Portland, in Chicago, in Manhattan, in virtually every big city in the United States. But they're like the clown montage leaders at the top of the show. They get up there and say everything's perfect. Or if they do accept that there are some problems, well, simple, blame Republicans or Fox News. Just blame those two and you're good to go. Good to go. Listen to this short montage. This is from CNN and MSNBC, clip 6.
And then lastly, Republicans are sacrificing our children for the Second Amendment. Our children, our most precious resource, children that will grow up to be creators, innovators, designers, solve climate change, save our democracy from itself.
What we are seeing is the outgrowth of Fox and other right-wing media's constant message that people who don't look like you or worship like you are out to get you. And when you combine that with a country that has more guns in civilian hands than any other on earth and NRA-backed laws that encourage people to use them, well, no wonder we can't even ring someone's doorbell anymore.
There she is alluding to that, the big story. They want to use it to incite more racial tension, warfare even. That 84-year-old man in Kansas City, that shot the 16-year-old black boy, or I'm sure he was a fairly big kid. We'll find out more details on this story as it unfolds. But they're using it again to whip up anger and hatred. This boy knocking on the wrong house, and then the 84-year-old shooting him. There's always more to these kinds of stories, and you don't find out, but that doesn't mean that the communists in charge aren't going to use it. Never let a crisis go to waste. I mean, this is one shooting that they really can get out there quickly on. What was it? Kamala Harris said. She tweeted, "Let's be clear, no child should ever live in fear of being shot for ringing the wrong doorbell." He rang the wrong doorbell and he shot. So quick to respond to, this is a nation, by the way, of 335 million people, a nation with 100 million gun owners, a nation with 400 million guns. Just looking at those numbers, it's really astounding that these kinds of things don't happen more often. I mean, I think just the fact that there's 100 million gun owners that don't commit acts of violence with guns shows you just how many law-abiding people there actually are in the country. There's definitely the criminal element. We're seeing it all over the big cities in particular. And yet their response, so predictable. Go after Republicans, go after Fox News, and let's add one more item to the list. Go after the gun. The gun is the problem. Tucker touched on this this shooting earlier this week, clip 14.
Democrats approve of racial violence. They are stoking it everywhere. No, it's not your imagination. They want race, hate, and violence. Today, Joe Biden released a statement about a young man called Ralph Yarl, a teenager, a black teenager who was shot after showing up to an elderly man's house in Kansas City. We don't know the details of this. There is much we don't know. And of course, we feel for anyone who was shot, including this teenager. But the White House didn't pause for a moment before drawing conclusions from this sad encounter and using those conclusions to further divide the country on the basis of race. The president said, and we're quoting, "No parent should have to worry that their kid will be shot after ringing the wrong doorbell." Well, that's demonstrably true. But of course, the president is saying this in order to further divide the country along racial lines and to tell a story that is, in fact, not supported by the facts, which is that black teenagers are murdered by elderly white people just for showing up on their doorsteps. Ralph Yarl, thank heaven, did not die from his injuries. He was just released from the hospital. But these kinds of mistakes do happen, and they're always sad, assuming this was a mistake. Again, we don't know all the details. This same weekend, a 20-year-old woman called Caitlin Gillis was shot and killed after her friend turned into the wrong driveway in upstate New York. A man shot her dead in the passenger seat. But there was no statement from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris about this, of course, because Caitlin Gillis was white, and therefore her death could not be used to further incite racial conflict that benefits the Democratic Party.
They're inciting racial conflict. Now, you've, again, tomorrow's news today. We've been on this for years and years and years. The book, Great Again, America Under Attack. If you don't have your own personal copy of either of those books, we offer all of our literature without cost, without obligation. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Here are the talking heads trying to incite racially motivated violence. Clip 13.
January 6th defendants say they were radicalized by Fox News. Mm-hmm. You're seeing them constantly touting Black Lives Matter as some evil entity. And then voila, you have people who think they ought to shoot Black Lives Matter people or shoot at them. You have young black man go to a door and someone who we don't know what he watches on TV, but you know, it wouldn't shock me if he was watching a lot of black people or violent thugs. And if the one comes to my door, I'm going to kill him. So you combine a lot of guns and a lot of people who are literally being radicalized by a television network.
A man that he said, you know, at my age, I was scared I couldn't defend myself. People like that, we need to be checking up on these gun owners. Because if you're someone that stands in a home and is petrified at someone ringing your door when you were never even, there's still a door between you and you're the one with the weapon, then you need to not have weapons.
Because that being said, to pretend that race is not a part of this whole situation would be to have your head in the sand. This boy was shot because he was existing while black, and he knocked on the door of someone who clearly fears black people, black boys, black children. And I think that that is clear as day.
That last commentary there, that's the mayor of Kansas City. He knows exactly what was going on in this elderly man's mind, evidently. That's the mayor of Kansas City on CNN, just stoking the flames of violence, doing anything. That previous clip from Joy Reid, she played this montage from Fox News where all of the commentary was on how crime is rising in the streets. And then it comes to Joy, who says, well, if the Fox News viewers are hearing about how much crime there is in the cities, then that's going to stir them to violence. So in other words, don't cover, don't report on what's actually happening in Portland or Chicago or New York City. Just cover it up and pretend that everything's like the 2020 election. It's just perfect. There they are. The problem is always you, the gun, the Republican, the Fox News channel. They hurried Brad Raffensperger out to give some commentary on the Fox News Dominion settlement. I talked about this with you on yesterday's show. Raffensperger, of course, presided over the stolen election in Georgia. He was responsible for the state of Georgia in 2020. And of course, Georgia's probably going to be coming next with the next indictment against Donald Trump because of a phone call that Donald Trump made to Raffensperger. But there he is, gleefully commenting on the Dominion settlement with Fox News, saying, we're vindicated. We're vindicated now. They're using this, the legacy media, they want so badly for the election deniers to shut up, to go away. And so that's why they're so enthusiastic in their reporting on the Fox News settlement. Because finally, they think, this will put a nail in the coffin for all those election deniers. Listen to Raffensperger yesterday. I think this is with MSNBC, clip 12.
Your reaction to the judgment of almost $788 million against Fox News for Dominion voting systems. You've dealt with all these conspiracy theories yourself. To your credit, you have stood up to Donald Trump and many others who wanted you to switch votes in your state.
It's vindication. We've been saying this for over 2.5 years now, that we had an honest and fair election in Georgia. So yesterday was vindication, because at the end of the day, in Georgia, we had an honest and fair election. And yesterday we were vindicated.
Sounds like a broken record. I guess they're vindicated. Honest and fair election. Just like Jeff Duncan says, just like Chris Krebs, all of them. I played the montage for you yesterday. It could have gone on for 20 minutes. All of these Democrats saying just how easy it is to hack into the machines, but not now. Not now. I guess now it's impossible. When Joe Obama wins, it's impossible to hack into the machines. Obama himself acknowledged how important it is to control the machines back in 2008. Obama knows. He knows that if you control the hardware, you control the election. He said the silent part out loud. We've got that quote for you in the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. Ready for war. That's January. Again, call the 800 number on your screen and subscribe. Get a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. They're all saying the same thing. They had to settle. So this proves that Fox lost. And I explained everything about the case yesterday. It was basically just Fox bringing forward some of those that were working on the lawsuits and the presentations before state legislatures and such back in the winter of 2020, November, December of 2020. A newsworthy subject, if ever there was one. All of the shenanigans. What does a Dominion settlement with Fox News have to do with shutting down the count on election night? Happened in 6 states. Donald Trump was well ahead in all 6 of them. And then we woke up the next morning and Joe Biden is ahead, miraculously, in all 6 states. Unbelievable turn of events. And then the three-ring circus that goes on in the days and weeks that follow. as the election day turned into an election week, after which the media determine the victor. The media determine the winner. And yet you're not supposed to bring in Sidney Powell or anybody. They're telling you that they rigged the election. And now, I mean, we know that they rigged it in many different ways, not just with machines, with mules, with cover-ups, with a complicit media covering up Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's laptop alone, just judging by surveys after the fact, that would have tilted the scales in the direction of Trump. I mean, this is a massive, monumental story. Stealing an election. Concealing evidence. We'll get to Hunter and company in just a second, but coming back to the talking heads, speaking of vindication and saying, well, finally, the election deniers have lost. They have no case. They settled with Dominion. Sam was saying this morning, it reminded him of that statement we made in the book, Raising the Ruins, where the representatives for the Worldwide Church of God, they looked at us in the summer of 2002 and said that you have no other options. Every door has been slammed shut in your face. Well, we ended up winning everything that we needed, everything that we asked for, and then some. Not just the 18 works, not just Mystery of the Ages, but also the Discovery, which resulted in Raising the Ruins. They were bragging, they were gloating in 2002, the enemies of God, as they were trying to bury the truth of God, as they were trying to bury Mystery of the Ages. They were gloating, and God turned the tables on them. And God's going to do that again. Listen to Jake Tapper. He's lecturing Fox News and Republicans every day now. Keep in mind, this is a Democrat hack. He used to work for a prominent Democrat politician. He's just a Democrat. And the other side, okay, they're Republicans. But these are not honest actors. They're not honest journalists, even though they self-righteously say they're perfect. They're honest. They're just reporting facts. Clip two.
But the kind of deception that you and your lawyers laid out, multiple lies over and over the course of months, text messages and emails suggesting that they knew that the guests were spewing lies. They knew that some of their own hosts, like Maria Bartiromo, were saying things that were not true, that they did not believe to be true. So it's not what Fox, the settlement they paid, that's nothing to do with what I do for a living. When I make a mistake, I go on air, I apologize. It happens. Everybody makes mistakes. This is not a mistake. This is malice. This is lying to the American people. Why not force them to tell all those people, all those misled Americans, which polls indicate millions of them still believe this nonsense? Why not force them to say, we shouldn't have done that? That was false. You have been misled. Joe Biden actually won. Dominion and Smartmatic and all that stuff was operating fine. Why not force them to do that?
So for Tapper, I mean, the settlement's not enough. You've got to force. That's the CEO of Dominion, by the way. He pretty much was hiding in the basement when Fox News did invite Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell on in November and December of 2020. Why didn't he come out forcefully and say, look, here's our company, these are our credentials, and we've had a good track record with this, this, and this? He just waited until the time was right to spring a $1.6 billion lawsuit on Fox News, and then Fox News, to its shame, just caves in, compromises, doesn't fight, or if it does, it fights half-heartedly. Tapper is asking this guy, why didn't you force an apology? Millions of people believed that the election was stolen. Well, you know what? Millions of Americans believed that the Hunter Biden laptop was misinformation. They believed it was Russian disinformation. It had all the hallmarks. Remember that, Jake? And they believe that going into the election and after, in fact, 18 months after. And there's Jake Tapper saying, how could they, we make mistakes, but how could they lie? And how could they lie for months and months and months? It's so rich, isn't it? It's laughable. It's embarrassing. the children. The children have taken over. They're lying, openly lying. Here he is. He can read everything into the mind of a worker at Fox. But in his mind, I mean, he's above reproach. He tells the truth. If he makes a minor mistake, he obviously admits it. Listen to Brian Stelter. You might remember him from CNN as well. He was fired. Well, I can't remember when that was, but he's asked yesterday, why were you fired? Clip 7.
Why do you think you got fired?
I don't know.
Really? You really don't know?
I really, truly don't know. I know I had a popular show by CNN standards.
He doesn't know why he was fired, and he knows his show was popular. Those are both lies. His show was unpopular, and he knows why he was fired, because he's a political hack. Used to work for the New York Times, then he came over to CNN, he had no ratings, and they let him go. They let him go. They fired him. But in his mind, just like Jake Tapper, he's done everything perfect. He's done everything just right. You know, amid all of these attacks on Donald Trump, covering up what's actually happening at the border or in our cities, runaway inflation, amid all of that, you've got this House committee that's turning up more and more information regarding the Hunter Biden or the Biden crime family. We talked earlier this week about how that Comer has found there's 9 of them now that were receiving money from the CCP. They were receiving money from the communist Chinese, being paid. And in some cases, government officials, certainly in the case of Joe Biden, he's the big guy. Listen to this little montage. It's two representatives, Nancy Mace. I'm not sure why she had to do the walk down the street with the selfie filming thing. But it's first her and then Representative Troy Nels after that. Clip 1.
Just left the Treasury to review over 100 suspicious activity reports on the Biden family. And I have to tell you, there are more Bidens involved than we knew previously. And every time you overturn, or look under a stone, there's so much more you have to investigate, because it's wild the number of family members involved, and it's even the amount of money that we're talking about in these suspicious activity reports is astronomical. And the accusations therein, the source of the funding, where the money's going, the shell companies, prostitution rings, etc. It's insanity to me that it's not been investigated in the way that it should be.
But yeah, to have up to 9 members now, you've got his brother Jim, you got Joe's brother Jim, and then there's a Haley, I think, which was Bo's widow. She's involved in this, so 9 family members. This family is corrupt. It's corrupt to the core. They're beholden to China. We all know it. The American people are going to see it.
We'll be waiting to see how much attention Jake Tapper gives to this story. The laptop, when did the DOJ get it? Under Bill Barr's direction? Was that December of 2019? And for years, they sat on it. And even now, you had the story. For one, Nancy Mace, 100 suspicious activities and prostitution rings? And then this guy reiterating just how many Bidens were involved in it? Yesterday, there was breaking news that an IRS employee who's familiar with some of the investigations into Hunter Biden and his tax problems and so on, he's coming forward claiming or wanting, anyway, whistleblower status so that he can tell Congress that, look, that it's a cover-up. It's politically motivated. They're covering the Biden crimes, even as they try to create one out of thin air to send Donald Trump away. The Wall Street Journal: an IRS supervisor has told lawmakers he has information that suggests the Biden administration is improperly handling the criminal investigation into President Biden's son and is seeking whistleblower protections. That's the Wall Street Journal. Listen to CBS. The CBS was the first of the big networks to cover this last evening. Clip 10.
There is breaking news in the federal criminal investigation into Hunter Biden's tax returns. An attorney for an IRS supervisor sent a letter to lawmakers today asking for whistleblower protection, saying his client has information that suggests the investigation is being improperly influenced by, quote, preferential treatment and politics. Here's CBS News chief investigative correspondent Jim Axelrod.
My client wants to come forward to Congress. He's ready to be questioned about what he knows and what he experienced under the proper legal protections.
Attorney Mark Lytle's client is a supervisory special agent at the IRS who's prepared to tell Congress the investigation he's been working on has been hampered by what he thinks is special treatment.
Typical steps that a law enforcement investigator would take were compromised because of political considerations.
Lytle wouldn't talk in specifics, declining to identify either his client or the target of the investigation his client helped conduct.
Can you identify him?
I can't at this stage, Jim.
But CBS News has learned the investigation the whistleblower worked on is about Hunter Biden.
What we're doing is being completely cooperative.
That was Biden 2 years ago, after the DOJ opened an investigation into his finances. The FBI collected what it believed was sufficient evidence to charge Biden with tax crimes, and last year sent its findings to the U.S. attorney in Delaware. Since then, silence.
Silence. 2 years ago. Alvin Bragg just got into office in January, right? And he went through documents that had already been thoroughly investigated by the DOJ, by the previous DA. And yet, in a matter of weeks, he's able to put together an indictment. In this case, you see a much different story, don't you? You see preferential treatment. That's what the whistleblower wants to come forward and say. I mean, as it turns out, I guess a House majority does make a difference for the Republicans. I know a lot of them are blowhards. They don't really act on it. There's plenty of them on TV. But at least they're uncovering damning evidence, for sure. Comer and his committee. And then now this, I mean, it's so bad, it's impossible even for the legacy media to ignore it. Well, maybe Jake Tapper will. We'll see. The Washington Post, it says an IRS agent who has been overseeing a lengthy, ongoing case involving Hunter Biden's tax returns is seeking whistleblower protection to testify to Congress about what he asserts is political interference and improper handling of the case by the Biden administration. I mean, this is a huge story, Jake. Huge. Political interference in an investigation that could send someone to prison or maybe not. Says a lawyer for the unnamed IRS criminal supervisory special agent sent a letter to Congress this week saying the agent would like to give information to lawmakers that substantiates his allegations of undue influence. He's got to get that whistleblower status, though, because, I mean, if Joe Obama finds out who this is, he's gone. He's blotted out. Or if it's a she, whichever. This is CNN again. It kind of makes you wonder if Joe Obama, and by that I mean Barack Obama, if he's pulled the plug on the puppet, if he's pulled the plug, they've got so much dirt on the Biden crime family, and so do the Chinese, and so do the Russians, and so do the Ukrainians. For CNN to go there, then you know that this is really bad for the Biden crime family. Clip 11.
An IRS supervisory special agent, our reporting is now claiming to have information about alleged mishandling and political interference in the ongoing criminal probe of Hunter Biden. That person is seeking whistleblower protection to share information with Congress, according to this letter obtained by CNN. Our Sarah Murray just gave our viewers that reporting, and I just wonder if the White House has a comment.
Well, right now, as you know, we've been very clear to not comment on anything related to any type of investigation. So that is something that we have been very, very diligent about and referring that to Department of Justice.
Indeed. They've been very clear about not commenting on anything, she says there. That's the White House spokesperson covering for the Biden crime family, as I said at the top. There are devastating consequences for stolen elections. And you can see why they work so hard to erase that from the discourse, the stolen election. It's over and done with. Look, everything is legit. The cities are doing fine. The southern border's okay. Nothing to see here. Nothing to worry about. The Wall Street Journal had a piece this week. If Western civilization dies, put it down as a suicide. Just like we've said so many times before, quoting or paraphrasing Abraham Lincoln, die by suicide. It says here, but the cultural revolution that began in the past decade is re-erecting those barriers and creating new elite power structures, elevated not by talent or hard work, but curiously by membership of the self-approved class, signaled by the right luxury beliefs and articulated by the right inclusive language. These are the ruling elites. As we survey the competition between global civilizations in the multipolar world we now inhabit, we see that the West is challenged as it hasn't been in centuries. It's axiomatic that a rising China and perhaps other powers look like formidable contenders for global leadership, with implications for our own security and prosperity. The journal says, but if we're losing that struggle, it isn't because of the superiority of authoritarian, communist, or autocratic systems. We know that liberal capitalism has done more for human prosperity, health, and freedom than any other economic or political system. It says, if we're losing, it's because we are losing our soul, our sense of purpose as a society, our identity as a civilization. I mean, very similar language to what was in Victor Davis Hanson's piece at American Greatness. It says here, we in the West are in the grip of an ideology that disowns our genius, denounces our success, disdains merit, elevates victimhood, embraces societal self-loathing, and enforces in a web of exclusionary and authoritarian rules, large and small. Well, the only thing missing from this piece and from Victor Davis Hanson's is the very important point to make about our sins. It's because of transgression that we're surrounded by these many curses. It's because of our sins that we're dying by suicide. For much, much more on that, you know all about America Under Attack, but here again, this is the foundational text on Bible prophecy. The United States and Britain in prophecy. Call our operators today and request a free copy. The number 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, in that day, in the last days, and at the time of the end. Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today. The United States and Britain in Prophecy. The Trumpet Daily.
In class this week, I've emphasized just how important it is to maintain a positive perspective, a positive outlook. We were going through Hebrews 10, the last part of it, where, as you've heard before, we've given this study probably 2-3 times in the course of our many years on the air. But Paul says there at the end of chapter 10 that we've got to really go forward. We had a short study just the other day where we used some of those verses in Hebrews 12 about Christ being the author and the finisher of our faith, and how that we have to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Let's begin over in Matthew 19. This is the exchange that Jesus has with the young man who was quite wealthy and successful and well-known in the community, well thought of for sure. This is Matthew 19, verse 21. It says, Jesus said to him, "If you will be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away. Instead of going forward with Christ, he's asking Christ, you know, what do I need to do? I've done all these things. I'm a commandment keeper. I'm religious. I'm living my life the right way. So Christ said, all right, give up all of your material things and follow me. We'll work together. But he went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to give up this life, to give up the things of this life in order to follow Jesus Christ. Notice verse 25, it says, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It is possible with God's help to be saved, to be rescued from this world. But when God initiates that process, John 6:44, then we've got to respond to it. We've got to answer that call. And we've got to make changes. We've got to put away sin. We've got to come out of this world. That's what your Bible teaches. Jonah, the prophet Jonah, remember when he was given the call of duty, he didn't respond so well. He ran away from the responsibility. He didn't want to serve God. He didn't want to go forward with God. He went away sorrowful, just like this man in Matthew 19. My father said this in a sermon last year. He said, that was a pretty serious sin that Jonah committed. And how often do we act like Jonah in our lives? We run away from something that we know we ought to be doing. That's sometimes the reason we get into those trials that we talk about. But we can't run from anything God wants us to do. You always come upon things that you would rather not do, but you have to do what God wants you to do. You can't run away from God's call. Well, I mean, you can because we're free moral agents, but you shouldn't. Go forward with Christ. In another article, this is from 2017, my father says here, God didn't call us to quit. You can't delight yourself in the Lord by being a quitter. And then he says, if Christ had been a quitter, then no one would have an opportunity to be born into the kingdom of God. Christ endured a savage beating that marred him beyond recognition and then was brutally murdered, so that we could one day obtain eternal life, become part of the God family, and help him rule the earth and the universe forever. That's a horrifying sacrifice to pay for our breathtaking reward. But he never quit. Jesus never did give up. I mean, right there at the end, as you know, he's praying. You know, I my will is to resist against this. I don't want to go this way. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Perfectly submitted to his Father in heaven and setting for us in the process a perfect example. He gave up his life for the good of others. And of course, look at the big picture. Philippians 2 says that after he did that, God highly exalted him. And he wants to do the same thing with us. It's incredible to think about what God wants to give us, what God wants to share with us. And yet you look around at the spirit of this age and you see so many Christians who are timid and fearful, and they run away from responsibility. They want to go the safe and the easy way. But that's not the way of a true Christian. As I explained yesterday with that example with Gideon, God wants a faithful 300. He can do more with a faith-filled 300-man army than he can with 32,000 who are lukewarm and complacent and fearful. Notice Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. It says, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I mean, liars and the fearful, they're numbered there among the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers. Yes, God says if you lie as well, if you're dishonest, if you bear false witness, and even if you're fearful, we're not of those who draw back, as Paul said in Hebrews 10. We've got to go forward with courage. With courage. My father said in Malachi's message, in the Laodicean churches, spiritual courage may be the greatest need. It may be the greatest need. You've heard me quote that so many times before. In an article my father wrote back in 2010, it says, "Jeremiah was just like you and me. We're all human beings, cowards at heart. We're fearful. But if Christ lives in us, all of that changes. We will take on anything, anybody, anytime, anywhere, because we know God is with us." See, if you're on God's side, you're in the majority. It could be you alone. And as long as God is there with you, then you can overcome any obstacle, any challenge, any difficulty, any trial, any test. What did Jesus say in that example in Matthew 19? The disciples marveled, if he doesn't make it, who can make it? And Christ said, look, with men, period, with men across the board, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Notice that passage in Hebrews 10, verse 35. It says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Don't lose that Christ-like confidence in God, that trust in God. As you know, the next chapter, the faith chapter, talks about all of these heroic examples. People who trusted God, who sacrificed everything for God. Paul says in verse 36, "For you have need of patience, and after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet in a little while, and you shall come, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." Verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." The just live by faith. They don't draw back or hesitate or step backward when they're faced with a confrontation or an obstacle. Verse 39, it says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And then you go on in the study and read all through chapter 11, and you see these heroes that go forward, that rise to the challenge, unafraid, faith-filled, just serving God, obeying their God, and all of them, of course, the details added about their lives. I mean, all of them action-oriented. That's the spirit of God's love. It's unselfish, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of others. That's how that Jesus Christ was able to lay down his life for all of mankind. He was filled with God's love. He was looking to his Father in heaven. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.